Rewilding is the large-scale restoration of ecosystems to the point where nature can take care of itself. It's not about leaving nature to its own devices or releasing packs of real wolves into our cities, but about humans carefully intervening to recreate the conditions for nature to thrive in a healthy way for everyone. To find out more, Speak Up contacted expert Sarah King. King is an ecologist who works as rewilding manager with the environmental charity Rewilding Britain. We began by asking her what exactly rewilding is and what it involves in practice.
It's definitely not about closing the gate and walking away. Ecosystems and our natural processes are so out of balance that if you did that in a lot of places, you probably would just get a whole load of bramble scrub or something like that. So there's a lot of intervention that people need to take at the start to almost reset and restart those natural processes. So rewiggling rivers, peatland restoration, sometimes tree planting, sometimes changing grazing levels and different grazing types to then kickstart natural processes so that maybe in 20, 30, 50 years' time, nature can then start to lead the way a little bit more.
Many people believe that rewilding is simply a trendy term for an old practice. King explains that in Britain, at least, it is a novel approach to the natural world.
I see it as being quite new, especially in Britain, something that's been happening in North America and mainland Europe for probably quite a few years now. We're probably about, 20, 30 years behind mainland Europe with our rewilding. We look back in the past and what we used to have here is kind of inspiration for what might be missing. Maybe there were lynx here once, wildcats, pine martens. That gives us an idea of how many species and natural processes are maybe missing. But it's very much a new concept looking at trying to change that viewpoint of letting nature lead the way rather than the more outcome focused approach that we've traditionally taken. So I think in Britain in particular, it's still quite new, which is why we set up the network to try and help to support practitioners, because it is such a new concept. It's difficult. There's no off-the-shelf solution that you can just put the blueprints together and that's how you do it. It's very unique to each site, which makes it really exciting, but also very tricky for those landowners who are trying to develop a strategy for what they want to do.
Many people also assume that rewilding means reintroducing worrying species, such as bears and wolves, beavers, wildcats, lynxes and bison to every area, and placing them in giant enclosures like the movie Jurassic Park.
It's definitely not the ambition of rewilding, and I think I would love us to have a landscape where you don't have that fencing. You can walk through an area where there's bison and there's semi-wild horses acting as they should, and there's semi-wild cattle, and there's maybe wild boar or pigs as a proxy roaming within that area. There's beavers there, and we learn how to reconnect with these animals and keep our distance from them, because it happens in mainland Europe. You can walk through these areas and people don't really get attacked.
King manages and coordinates the Rewilding Network across Britain, which includes some exciting marine projects. The network provides inspiration, expertise, and knowledge exchange from members. And although it only covers about 1% of available UK land at present, it involves a large number of people. Nature needs many helping hands, as King explains.
I think there will always be a role for people in there, even in 100 years' time. And definitely in the next 10, 20, 30 years, we do need to be involved in these projects to reset and restore some of the habitats that have been degraded so much. So yeah, I think there will always be a role for people. And we are part of nature, and we shouldn't forget that we are also part of it. We're not separate from it.
Not everyone has the resources or time to commit to rewilding, but we can all play our role, says King.
Lots of rewilding projects have opportunities for people to visit for free on public footpaths or to get involved with programs or walks that they do. So have a look on our network map and see where your nearest project is and get involved with it. Go and visit it. Go and experience rewilding, because you can read all the books that you like. But if you can go and visit a project, that's how you really connect with the magic of rewilding.
In our age of information gone wild, there are many more assumptions made about rewilding that are embellished or simply not true. King addresses the main ones.
The main ones that people think it's about excluding people, it's about closing the gate and walking away, it's about land abandonment and pushing people off the land. We also get the misconceptions that it's all about wolves and bears and lynx, or you just want to rewild everywhere and then we won't have any food production. But they're all false, really. And I think through showcasing real examples, we can then start to push back on some of those, because actually, in a lot of cases, it's about bringing more people onto the land rather than pushing people off, because you're bringing people on to help with ecology surveys, with livestock management, you're bringing in new enterprises, tourism. You actually end up with more jobs and more volunteers. So actually more people there rather than excluding people.